FM CHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast. CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with channeler David Watson, Tracy McBurney's incredible energy consciousness, Mikhail Mir's financial consciousness, and nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with quantum physics and consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Believe.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Intuitive Soul and Friends. This is the third Friday, so it's usually the second Friday that we have Tracy, but we have Tracy in studio today because, well, it was our holiday weekend, and although my holiday weekend had a big surprise in it, in that my sister's car broke down right on the busiest highway in Toronto, the 400, and so that kind of ended our trip.
So that was the reason for the shutdown on the 400.
You know, somebody else said that. No, it was not us.
So that's why hundreds and hundreds of people didn't get up north.
Wouldn't that
night.
Be funny? No, it was not us. Somebody else said that, but yeah. So we are going to be continuing our conversation of last month. So those of you who listened in last month, this should be interesting because we've had some interesting revelations.
Needs to be continued.
It needs to be continued. So we're going to continue our conversation about mindfulness and what is driving us, and then we're going to talk about miasms, which.
No, a
sounds
specific
really,
one.
A specific one, although it
really,
sounds very
I
interesting.
Don't consider I consider myself the kahuna of miasms.
Although you might have to explain what it is because I'm still not sure, but we'll talk about that after. Let's go. So welcome, Tracy.
Welcome. Hey, nice to be here again with that intro.
Yeah, really. And yeah, let's go on continuation.
Okay.
So it was a really difficult time that you'd gone through.
Yeah. It was, very, very traumatic time.
Yeah.
August the 17th, apparently the day of the universal shift. That was not by coincidence, I don't think. Anyway, as I said on the last show, I ended up in this situation where there I was on the highway driving up north on the, actually I wasn't on the 400. I'd managed to get past there. I was on Highway 11 heading up north.
Okay.
So I'd managed to get on the Highway 11 leg. And I had started the journey not feeling so well. My stomach was kind of turning, and I did not realize at that particular time that what was really going on was not food poisoning. It was an allergy to something. It wasn't something that I ate. It was actually psychic attack.
Right.
And a psychic attack of what I would call gut brain, the
right.
neurological systems that would be gut brain. And I did not know that at that time. In fact, now it's on my radar, but it certainly wasn't then. I would scroll through everything else because I'm a nutritionist. So I'd scroll through everything else before I'd head to psychic attack. And,
right.
you know, now psychic attack is on my radar.
Yeah. Because it's not something you typically discuss
no.
in any of your stuff. I
no.
mean, it's.
So, so there I was. And, this psychic attack became something that was more than in the gut. It started to, connect into head and head brain. And it has started to affect my entire neurological system and all my senses. And what I would say is all my senses went fluey. Like my ears started to hear bounding amounts of noise instead of just what was the noise on the road. My physical eyes started to see the beams of light as giant, giant, huge balls of light instead of what they were initially. And I happened to be traveling through a corridor on Highway 11 where there was a lot of construction. So, you know, those pylons with all those reflectors. So
yeah.
They're bad enough at night, let alone when something like this is going on. So anyway, that's what that was. And it looked like I have had some testing done and it looked like there was some neurological issue that had come at this exact time. And now I'm starting to piece together some of the other pieces. In other words, there was a spider bite.
Okay.
And there were sand fleas. So there was a spider bite in mid-July that went right into my spine.
Right.
There were a whole series of sand flea bites that took hold on my legs when I was at my sister-in-law's home in North Carolina, playing the games with the kids on the lawn. And what I hadn't realized is they were using some sort of grass turf that, although it's incredibly durable, like it's unbelievable how tough this particular grass strain was. But what I also started to recognize is this grass stain would hold water. Like one of the reasons why it was as sturdy and hardy as it was, it had a whole root system that would hold an incredible amount of water. And so it was a breeding ground for mosquitoes and a breeding ground for these fleas and these sand fleas. And it was just a happy-go-lucky time for them. Mm-hmm. And the moment that you stepped on it, that's it. Like, you know, they were just all over you.
Yeah, I learned a lot about sand fleas from the islands. When to avoid them, and you can't avoid them. It's just at certain periods of time that they come out. And I always got bit nastily, like always.
Oh, and you know, the bites are so itchy.
Oh, my, I know.
But what I hadn't realized was the amount of different crazy toxins that these things, like fleas, like your own fleas from your own dogs or cats or these sand fleas, that they can transmit those kinds of things. And
interesting.
So the thing that came up on this machine was something called Rickettsia typhus. And when we looked back in time, it wasn't there before these bites. So it had been transmitted at some point from there. And it had taken a toll on nervous system. So it made the nervous system more susceptible, like less able to cope, so to speak, with whatever was going on. So do I believe that I set myself up for all of this? Yes, I do.
Right.
Yes, I do. I do. When I saw that spider bite, well, I didn't see it because it was on my back of my spine, but when I saw how quickly the venom had gone in, like how quickly the poison had gone into my spine, like it was gone the next day.
Right.
And I remember looking at my husband going, okay, this is really interesting, because I've had a couple of spider bites where you just, they blister and they ooze and there's all sorts of craziness going on. And this, I never had one on my back and never had one right at my spine. And I went, I am creator of my life. So what am I doing? Like, I remember actually saying that. What am I doing? Like, what's taking hold now? What is happening? So it turns out that all of this kind of set the stage. All right. So anyway, here I am. I guess the message for today. I have spent quite a long time on this spiritual journey now, like the better part of 20 years, trying to be more mindful and quite a bit more conscious of what is going on and really trying to walk this path of I am creator of my life, taking responsibility for what's going on. And I'll tell you, I got an interesting piece of learning around this, because when this happened to me, and this was so traumatizing to have this happen to my neurological system, to really feel the threat of my very life potentially being taken and that of my son, because that's what it felt like. And it really felt like that.
While you were driving.
While I was driving, 110 kilometers an hour on a highway that I couldn't find my way off of, and feeling like if I just got off on the side of the road, I would be in, like, just on the side shoulder. It would be worse for me. I needed to get off the highway. Like, I needed to get away from everything that was neurologically impacting me. And so I had to figure out how to stay on that highway, even though my arms had gone numb. I had to figure out how to stay on that highway and get to that exit.
So 110 kilometers is what, 85?
Yeah,
something like that. Just so you know from that perspective.
All right, so here's the piece. Like, here's the piece that comes now. I could not hold the space that I have been able to hold, even through the loss of $10,000 of my grandparents' inheritance money. I was able to hold the space. That was what my husband had gotten himself up to. I was able to hold the space of it's all divine. It's all divine. It's all divine. It's all working in divine right order. Even when I could see evidence all around me of how helped I was, and how in a state of grace I was still so physically and emotionally traumatized by that event, I fell into the old thinking. I fell into an old and very, I fell into an old thinking that I think is a very popular thinking on this planet. This idea of good and evil. This idea that this evil has come to get me. And this evil has come to threaten me. And this darkness has come to threaten me. And this darkness is interested in the taking of my life. And this, there is a war here between the darkness and the light. and I am part of this war, and I have to win this war. And I have to defend, and I have to protect, and I have to protect, and I have to protect myself from that which is trying to kill me. And so I went into a really defensive mode. An enlightened defensive mode. But in other words, I was very much calling to this divine of 100% pure love and pure light to build these boundaries, to create these walls. It was really interesting to walk that path for a while, to recognize this isn't me. Mm. This isn't me. This isn't where I want to be. This is not where I need to be. This is not the right place for me. And as I was working with some people that were really holding that space and feeding that idea, there came a point where I just went, you might be telling me some truth, but you're not telling me the whole truth. It doesn't feel right. My gut brain can't assimilate this, doesn't want to assimilate this, doesn't want to digest this, is refusing to digest this. It's kind of sitting like a ball of energy that you're telling me that feels like there's some truth in it, but there's so much other stuff that's coming on that I can't. Mm-hmm. I felt between this time frame and last station that I wanted to reconnect with a woman that I had done a significant amount of work with, because she's the only person that I've ever been in the physical presence of that really gets this idea of neutrality and really lives it in her office, where she literally will stand in the presence of those energies, those demonics, those dark force energies, whatever it is that is sitting in the fields of those people. She will sit with them in a place of neutrality and just hold that neutral space, very eloquently holding that neutral space, speaking to them, connecting with them, understanding where it is that they are coming from, and literally being that channel so that that divine love can come through her in her neutral space. And I thought, you know, I need to reconnect with her. Because there's no question, I believe this woman that I was working with who said psychic attack from very, very far off, very, very far off, very, very outside of me, very outside of even potentially this universe. Okay, I get that. I believed that. That felt true. But all of this idea that I needed to buy in to this war that was going on, and I needed to defend, and I needed to take responsibility for how I'd opened myself up to, and I just went, No, I need to get quieter. There are some illusions playing out here that don't feel right. Anyway, it's been an interesting reconnect, and it's been fascinating because the woman that I desire to reconnect with has been doing a lot of work, not only helping her father to find his way out of some interestingly difficult health challenges, but she personally has been working with more than a few psychiatric patients diagnosed with extreme levels of psychosis and extreme levels of crazy, insane behavior, and she is helping them to work that out. It was also interesting. I don't know where we are on time frame.
About a minute.
Okay. It was also interesting to discover that what I thought began this for me, when I said last day, and I really felt it to be the truth, what I felt began it, I was buying into what I had heard. I felt like that was digestible, that what began this was my request that all the brains in me know this divine light within me. What I know now is that voice that I heard in my head that day. I was already connected to this demonic energy at that time. And I had been connected to it for days. And it was an insidiously interesting energetic because it was very smart. And if you had any issue inside of you around your own smartness, your own dumbness, then it was going to help you to feel smarter.
Oh.
Right?
Oh,
so there was a real interesting hook there.
Shall we go into that after we come to
break?
Sure. All right. We're going to go to break. You are listening to Intuitive Soul in France. I have Tracy McBurney here. You can find out more about Tracy at her website, tracymcburney.com. Tracy.com, Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y, McBurney, M-C-B-U-R-N-E-Y.com. You are listening on Intuitive Soul with, on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
As a woman in business, you know you need to get yourself out there and promote yourself, but you don't feel comfortable with it, and nothing you're doing right now is helping you reach what you know is your full potential. Is this you? It's time to reach out to Bonnie Marcus, womenssuccesscoaching.com. With Bonnie's guidance, hundreds of professional women have connected with their unique value and have learned how to effectively communicate that value to others. And as a result, they've seen dramatic results. More confidence, more clients, more promotions, more income. This could be you. You need a new approach. Connect to your value and talent and let the world know what you have to offer. Contact Bonnie Marcus, Women's Success Coaching. Email Bonnie, bonnie@womenssuccesscoaching.com today for your complimentary 30-minute strategy session and make the decision to take control of your career today. That's bonnie@womenssuccesscoaching.com.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney here today. We've been talking about, we're continuing on a conversation that happened last month about stuff that happened to her in August. And just for clarification purposes, there were a couple of people that you went to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you kind of got in and started your learning of that, and it's been quite profound.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. All right. So now what comes to light? that is digestible. It's almost like gut brain can digest this now. It feels like, thank you, I now have a level of truth that I can assimilate. This whole event was not created by my desire that all of my brains, no matter how small, know that light inside of myself. That was part of the problem. It was part of the issue, but it was not where this began. This relationship with this demonic happened days before then. And it goes back to working with a client where I was not holding that level of neutrality that I would have needed to have held, that place that that practitioner I spoke to you about is able to hold. I was not there. This demonic was able to get into my fields and into my system at that time.
Playing on you.
Yes, to take hold in ways that you would not even recognize, because it literally was hooking into my desire to be smarter, my desire for greater knowledge, my desire to intellectualize more and understand more. It was what was pushing me to get through that embraining book in 2.5 seconds where my husband, who is very intuitive, was like, what has taken over you? Why are you doing, why don't you just say to Lori, you'll return her book a week after the holidays. Why don't you just return the book and borrow it again? Like, he's just looking at the crazy me, picking up the crazedness, where I was just accepting the craziness as what it needed to be because I wanted to keep my word to you and return the book in a timely manner because that's the right thing to do, right? So I was writing the craziness
off. I took
off.
The course and I still haven't finished the book.
Right. I was writing the craziness off to that, where my husband was picking up something else and it was unsettling him. And I was just going, yeah, push away. But he was absolutely right. He was absolutely right. He was intuitively picking up what he would call a disturbance in the force. And I was writing it off to just something as simple as needing to keep a promise and needing to operate from a place of integrity with a friend who I'd borrowed this book from. But it wasn't that.
Right.
It was this energy, pushing this issue, getting me smarter. Getting me smarter, delivering to me the information that I need now.
How appropriate that it was a book on brains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm very happy that I have it, and I'm very happy that I have all of that information in my, but, you know, it was really interesting to see, wow, it took hold of some neediness issues within myself. My need to know. I haven't really investigated it yet because a lot of these times it's unhealed kind of ego pieces. And if you've heard things from previous episodes and talks, I'm really not interested in the destruction of ego, the devastation of ego. I don't walk those roads. I'm interested in the enlightenment of ego and the returning of ego to wholeness and the returning of ego to a knowing of a greater and higher reason for its existence within the consciousness of me. And so was unenlightened ego parts part of this? Absolutely. No question. So that's where that took hold. And if I had to take responsibility for something that I was not taking responsibility for in the last radio show, it was this. I was not taking responsibility for something that I could not see. Again, I couldn't see it. I didn't know. I didn't know that this thing had taken hold. I didn't know that as a practitioner, I had not set that I had not placed myself in that neutrality. I wasn't wearing, let's say, my cloak, the cloak of healer. I was not wearing it that day. I was not sitting that day in perfect unison with those beings of love and light that are my healing team with my cloak. Not so that I'm sitting in defense, because this cloak is not about defense. In other words, it's almost like the woman that I turn to say, you know, please help me to learn this. Now I want to learn it, not just to sit in her presence while she's doing it for me. I want to learn it. I want to learn how to be that in my office. That level of non-judgmental. But really, I couldn't see it. I didn't know that that, well, you know what? That's not true. I knew that demonic had entered my office. But to me, I went, I am connected to this divine. There was another piece of learning. I am connected to this divine. And therefore, in my connection to this divine will take care of this. This divine will take care of this. Divine will take care of me. What I needed to learn was that I also have to develop within myself that level of connection to that power within myself, that level of connection to that divine light within myself, so that I'm just not standing with that divine looking. I am literally I am really recognizing that power lives within me. That power to stand in that neutrality lives within me, and desiring to be connected to that always. Not seeing it as something that's outside of me that I am calling into the room, like something outside of me would then be standing in that place of protection and defense. Really, if it's all divine, there's nothing that you are defending yourself against. There's nothing that you need to protect yourself from if it's all divine. This traumatization of me was divine on many levels. It grounded me in my home and still grounds me in my home to a certain extent. As I just am still now moving out of some of the psychology pieces of it, the need to protect pieces of it that are still sitting in a different place, right?
Right.
But way, way more improvement since I am no longer seeing my need to defend the way I did, recognizing the divineness of all of it. It is recognizing the divineness of whatever darkness came in that psychic moment, to take hold in that way.
Right.
And that's a really powerfully wonderful place to be. That real need to work towards that absolute acceptance that it is all divine.
Right.
So
right.
I am sitting, spending more time at home. More time at home, clearing up some of the things that need to be cleared up, clearing up some of the administration things that need to be cleared up. I've wanted to share the teaching at the school that I teach in more than I have been, and this is taking care of that. Mm-hmm. Now I will no longer be teaching in one of the portions of the school. I'll no longer be traveling all of these distances to teach in one of the school locations. I'll be teaching in one that's very close to my home, and
oh,
that
nice.
Feels very right to me. And it means that I truly will now have somebody who's really teaching this course with me.
Right.
So that if for some reason I have to be gone somewhere, or they have to be gone, we've got companionship rather than it being mostly me. Right. So there'll be somebody else very securely rooted in another place. And it was almost like that needed to happen, and it's needed to happen for a very long time. But something else needed to take hold of it because I wasn't doing it. That part of me connected to ego or connected to unhealed inner child or whatever it was not moving forward to take those actions that actually needed to be done. Right. And so there's lots of interesting changes, good changes that are happening. And the other thing is I know a lot about taking care of self physically, but I would be the first person to say, boy, can I be crappy at that. So when you really have a head brain that really is demanding that it be taken care of right now, it's amazing. It's amazing how habit feels are starting to shift and change very quickly because I have to do this. It's not about want to do this. It's I have to do this. It's like this is you are pushed to an edge where I just have to show up this way. And I am desiring to show up this way. And I'm having conversations with this brain. What do you want to eat? You know, what I am desiring to feed you what it is that you are really needing. And it's also very interesting to have surrendered my practice to the level that I have surrendered it to this divine.
Nice. All right, we're going to go to our next break. You are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. You can find out more about Tracy on her website at tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. You are listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
People say in Wales, and giving your thanks to our seas, my respect to the ones in the forest, standing up for our old trees. Them giving food to the hungry again, hope to the needy again, life to a baby again, careful free, cause there is freedom around us. We have everything we need, and I will care for you. Care for me, and we all have opinions. Some of them get through, but there's better people with more good to do. Good to do. And what I have could be a message, or just some words from my heart. My respect to the ones making changes. Lives, they'll give their all, like giving food to the hungry again, hope to the needy again, life to a baby, giving care for free, cause there is freedom around us. We have everything we need, and I will care for you, cause you care for me, and we all have opinions. Some of them get through, but there's better people with more good.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney from TracyMcBurney.com. It's just, I find this conversation very interesting for a couple reasons. One, because you are probably one of the most neutral people I had known, and sitting, yeah, totally. Don't laugh. When
look
I
look how far I can fall.
Well, I don't know about that. I think when you're doing a session, you are definitely in that space.
Oh yes,
yes, yes.
Well, kind of, except in the presence of that demonic that okay. Put me right off my kilter, right?
Right. So that's interesting. And, you know, you always say such a powerful statement whenever you do any work, which is, you know, in divine timing and best, if it's in within our best.
Safe and appropriate and highest and best interested in divine timing. It's like, there it is in my habit field.
Right.
All the time.
Right.
Yeah. And you asked me on break, yeah. You said, well, did you not say that when you were actually asking that, you know, all your brains, no matter how small, that they be, you know, delivered to this divine light and whatever it was that I said. And I, yeah, absolutely I did. Absolutely, I did. It would have been just in the habit field. We all have habit fields, by the way. Isn't that cool? And yes, it would have been in the habit field. And so I have a new understanding. I mean, the levels of learning from this, right? I have a new understanding of safe and appropriate and highest and best interest in divine timing. That doesn't mean that crap doesn't happen to you. When I look, the reason why this all lined up the way it did, it was safe. It didn't feel safe to me. But I had all the help that I needed, and I have continued to have all the help that I have needed all the way along in this journey surrounding me everywhere, and I've been able to see it. I have been able to comment to people about, you know, like, it's just amazing, and then this person is here, and they're in my class right now, and they've wanted to take this class for 5 years, but they're here now. And it feels like the right person for me to go see now. And this person's able to tell me about the poisons and the things that have been affecting my nervous system because the machine is telling her that this. And I'm going, oh, this is unbelievable. She could have been in my class 5 years ago and completely off my radar. Mm-hmm. And me not even being able to think about her in the realm of the craziness that was going on in my head. But no, she's right there in my space. Safe, appropriate. Is it appropriate? Is it appropriate that I learn these things now? Is it appropriate that I am put into a place where this divine is saying, you know what? You need to take better care of your physical body and you need the inspiration. You've been asking for it. I've been asking for it and asking for it. Deliver me to the inspiration that would inspire me to take better care of my physical body because I'm not doing it. Well, is this not the inspiration? So is that not appropriate? And is it not safe? And is it not in divine timing? I'm looking and saying, you know what? From what I can see, it must be in divine timing. I'm looking at some things that I am going to have to walk through and navigate that just when I even think about them, they unsettle me, like the death of my mother or the death of my father. I mean, just to even speak about it is just like, but to me, it's like, am I not doing something now to help me to be in a greater place of strength? From that space, I have a girlfriend. She's my best friend, and she has been not on her game and very much a mess for the last 10 years since the death of her parents. And I think there is, and her parents died very closely together. And I think there is a part of me that has seen that and watched that. And doesn't want that to be my life. Mm-hmm. And yet I cannot say that I do not adore my parents, love my parents. Are they not an incredibly powerful force of positive in my world? Absolutely. And strength in my world. And so is all of this sitting in a timing to help me now with all of that? Mm. According to this machine, yes.
Interesting.
Right? So, safe, appropriate, and highest and best interest in divine timing, right? But of course, is this what I wanted? Is this the way I wanted it?
Right.
Did I want to be so did I want to be so traumatized on the highway? No, but I did ask. I did ask to be inspired.
Yeah.
You know, inspire me by your light.
Right.
To aid me to do this, to push me to a place where I would really do more to take care of my physical being in a way that was good for me. And so it's been interesting that from the moment this happened, that has been where I have been guided to. I was guided to Donna Eden's work and to her energy medicine books. I was guided to her little exercises. I was guided to her beautiful little neurolymphatic exercises to literally clear adrenal stress. It's been working marvelously well. And of course, this machine is basically saying, look, your adrenals are great.
Oh,
they were not great a month ago. Okay. They're great now. What this machine is really tagging is thyroid, right? Thyroid's not so happy. And it doesn't have anything to do with what's gone on with adrenals. Now it's quite honestly, thyroid's not happy for, you know, reasons that are family reasons and hereditary reasons. And just interesting things. So safe and appropriate and highest and best interest is not always going to pull you out of a difficult situation, but it will ensure that I think it will ensure a greater capacity for you to be able to see the support available to you and to be able to line up these challenges in your life in a way where they really are supported in a way that you can see. So that's been an interesting piece of the story.
Yeah. Wow. And so this machine also taught you about miasms?
Well, wasn't that an interesting thing? I was just at this woman's place yesterday because I was checking on my brain. She gave me a homeopathic remedy, Dr. Reckwig number 12. And apparently Dr. Reckwig number 12 is a very, very good remedy for helping people who have concussions, for helping people that have had brain traumas. Now, really, not for everybody, so I don't want people listening to the show and running out going, I had a concussion, my son's had three concussions, let's go get Dr. Reckwig's number 12 remedy. It was good for me, right? It was good for me. It energy tested well for me. So if you have somebody, if you're listening to the show that can do energy testing or you really trust that you can do that for yourself, it's a great remedy for you to trust. It has done incredible things for my brain in a very short period of time. My brain went from the pink that she saw it. In other words, when she did this testing about a month ago or 3 weeks ago, that was about 3 weeks ago because it was before this last program. About 3 weeks ago, she did this test and my brain was showing pink, which meant it was starting the process of healing itself from what had happened, but it was not healed. Mm-hmm. So it was sitting in the pink and still clearly showing evidence of trauma, like physical trauma to this area. And now it's in the blue. Mm. Pink's all gone. It's in the blue. It's not showing up being an issue at all.
Wow.
The physical trauma of, so now I'm dealing with the emotional trauma. I'm dealing still with some little legs of emotional trauma and spiritual trauma maybe, but mostly emotional trauma. So I'm, you know, the EFT and all these, you know, wonderful Donna Eden exercises and things that, you know, that I have in my coffer. So, you know, and, you know, it's not, all the bags are tricks, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Including if there's something that I need to know that this divine wants to bring to me, something new, it's like, thank you. Like it's interesting. Donna Eden's exercises, they were something new to me. Mm-hmm. Even though I had her book gifted to me about 8 years ago by a grad student from the energy medicine class, I hadn't really broken open the book.
Mm-hmm.
Until I was guided to do that and guided to go to chapter 8 and read about habit fields. And that happened about a year ago. So the book came out of my bookshelf about a year ago and it's been sitting in a different place on my floor, which is kind of where the books that I'm kind of into right now sit, not on the bookshelf, but on the floor in my pile. And so it had made its journey out of the bookshelf about a year ago. And I find that too to be very interesting. Like it all just says, this has all been set up. And it's all been set up around the age of 50. And do I think that's a coincidence? No. No, I don't. So what showed up on her machine? Something that I am familiar a little bit with this idea of miasms. Miasms are energy imprints. They're balls of energy that travel in family lineage. So somebody in the family had syphilis imprinted in their system, and now the miasm of syphilis is traveling within that family, but not syphilis, the miasm of it, right? The energy imprint.
So you may attract somebody who has it just because you think your body's supposed to have it or the miasm. No,
but the miasm of syphilis can, if you understand, if a homeopath or a naturopath, they would study this much more so than I am. Having a miasm actually, you think a certain way. You think a certain way about life. You think a certain way because this energy imprint is within you. You see life a certain way. But this was different. Her machine didn't pick up any of those usual miasms, the miasms of tuberculosis and leprosy and syphilis and all this. It picked up the miasm of heavy metals. And I'm like, the miasm of heavy metals? I've never heard of this. Nobody's ever brought this to my attention. I didn't even know this existed, the miasm of heavy metals. But what was really interesting was I was already starting to sort this out with a client, delivering to myself the conscious understanding of with a student in the class on Wednesday night before I had my session on Thursday. I was literally delivering her out of the heavy metal miasm, giving her the conscious understanding of it without ever talking about it as a miasm.
Mm. Right.
Without ever framing it as a miasm.
All right, we're going to go to our last break with that thought. We'll come back and talk more about that. You are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney here. You can find out more about Tracy at our website, tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com, or on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
My best friend gave me the best advice. He said each day's a gift and not a given right. Leave no stone unturned, leave your fears behind, and try to take the path less traveled by. That first step you take is the longest ride. If today was your last day, tomorrow was too late, could you say goodbye yesterday? Would you live each moment like your last? Leave old pictures in the past. Donate every dime you have. If today was your last day, against the grain should be a way of life. What's worth the prize is always worth the fight. Every second counts, cause there's no second try. So live like you've never lived twice. Don't take the free ride in your own life. If today was your last day, would you make your mark by mending a broken heart? You know it's never too late to shoot for the stars, regardless of who you are. So do whatever it takes, cause you can't rewind a moment in this life. Let nothing stand in your Would you say goodbye to yesterday? Or would you live each moment like your last? Leave old pictures in the past. Donate every dime you have. And would you call on friends you never see? Reminisce on memories. Would you forgive your enemies? And would you find that one dream in a fair amount?
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul with Tracy McBurney from TracyMcBurney.com. We've been it's been a fascinating show about your... It's always great how your life experiences and your clients and it's always good. So we ended up with you going
miasms of heavy metals.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is
clearly she's bringing this up because this is one of my issues as well.
I think so. Cause we really have been doing some work with that.
I know.
Yeah. And I'm getting it is.
Oh yeah. Of course.
Okay, so this machine did not connect it to either mother or father. I actually got quiet afterwards, and it connects into mother, right? So the miasm for metals connects into mother. And it is interesting because I haven't really investigated it yet, but we do have a nerve condition that runs genetically through the family, and I'm wondering if, in fact, they are linked and connected. Anyway, let's go to, so here I am on Wednesday night's class. This is a day before I get this information, but clearly I was being already prepped for it. And, what's coming through with this particular student, she said she's been on a candida cleanse for 7 years. And of course, what I was trying to teach the students in that class is, look, when you have somebody coming into your office and they're plopping down $170 or $150 or whatever your fee is, do not think that that is all that it is required. People will plop down money in my office and they'll say, this is what I want and this is what I'm coming for help with. But when I actually muscle test it, there is so much of them that is not open to being helped with this
right.
at all, right?
Yes, yes.
In other words, the presence of the archetype of saboteur or the presence of the archetype of victim is very present. And so the very first thing I want to do is find out, okay, I need to show up so that all of me is working with this and working with this divine, but are you prepared to do that? So that we're actually working together on the same end. So this is what I was attempting to show this class. And so what comes up for this woman is, no, she's not interested in working out this candida issue. And she's shocked. What do you mean I'm not? I've been doing this for 7 years. What do you mean I'm not interested in doing this? No, she was open, committed, but not ready. Not ready and not doing this now, which meant there's something else coming in that's a greater priority than the resolution of this issue, and she's been doing this for 7 years. These are psychological reversal issues. I talk to clients about them, and I talk to students about them all the time. And they're real nasty belief systems that really impede, they're connected to our very survival, we think. And so we were clearing that for her, and this all comes in. And I didn't say it as a miasm, but what started to really be seen, they started to show me these bags. In my mind's eye, they showed me these bags, and they said they're filled with metals. This one's filled with lead, and this one's filled with mercury. It was a littler one, and it's filled with mercury. And this one's filled with thallium, and this one's filled. And then there's this little tiny bag of something else. And she doesn't know that she doesn't have to have the exact amount of each of these things sitting within her as her burden in this life. Right. So as she works to move these out, more comes in. And as she does this candida diet, I was trying to also teach the students, look, you know what? Don't judge this organism called candida when it's sitting in a fungal state. Dr. Halmer, German New Medicine, delivers to us an incredible gift. It may be that it's actually in this fungal state for biological purpose and reason. So when we ask the question, okay, is this candida fungus actually eating at tumors? Is it eating at lesions, tumors, nodules, excess tissue? No. All right. But is it there for biological purpose and reason of benefit? Yes, it is. Is it eating metals? Yes, it is. It's eating metals. That's the other thing. Candida loves that as a food. If you're not feeding it sugar, it'll eat metals. And that's exactly what was happening to her for 7 years. She'd been on a candida diet that was taking all the sugar out of her diet, creating a torturous world for her. But she was continuing to feed this thing metals. Mm-hmm. And every time this thing ate more metals, she'd just bring more metals in because there always had to be this much lead and this much mercury and this much thallium and this much of these things in these little bags they showed it to me. And now I see it to be miasm. In other words, I don't know how. And she was in tears. Oh. It's almost like she, and what we discovered, what she was able to bring forward is she was a twin and one of the twins did not live. So she had a psychology buried inside of her for clinging to life, not really trusting inside of her capacity to live. And so she was clinging at whatever it was that she felt that she needed to cling to ensure her very survival. And that included these bags of metals. And so we just weren't unwrapping the miasm. We were unwrapping something way bigger than that. Her neediness to survive in these ways. Her incapacity to be able to see in a way that would allow her to be free of these metals and allow this candida to go back to its anaerobic state of existence within herself or to become enlightened and to leave altogether this physical body.
Don't we always have a little bit of candida? Is it necessary?
Candida actually, and this was another gift of Dr. Homer, right. Candida actually exists in our gut as a harmless anaerobic organism. And what he suggested is it is sitting there waiting in dormancy to be called into service. And it gets called into service as that destructive energy to eat metals or to eat tissue that has proliferated and gotten bigger, like tumors, when it's time for those tumors to be dissolved, when it's time for the body to be brought back into its original state of existence, and then there would be only scar tissue that would be remaining from that event. In other words, candida is part of the biological nature of the universe of us. And in its anaerobic state, it's in a state of dormancy. So it is absolutely necessary and needed. If you're not going to work with your divine core of light within you to get the job done, then this is how you're going to get the job done with the biological instruments that have been delivered to you in your universe. So it really depends on whether you want to heal more divinely using the light within yourself or whether you want to just use these organisms.
Right. Right.
Kind of lower healing and higher healing.
And a little bit of both.
Or a little bit of both.
Right. Wow. Well, hasn't this been a fascinating show?
Yeah. And I'm feeling a whole lot better than I was a month ago, a whole lot better about myself.
Yeah.
A whole lot better about how things are forming themselves and playing out.
So am I. I'm not sure. I think there's some stuff that's been there sort of supporting in the last little while that's been kind of nice. So,
and I am back to It's All Divine. I'm back where I belong.
Right. That's important. All right. Well, you've been listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. If you want more information about her, not that her website has a whole lot of more information about her, but
actually it's in rebuild right now, so you can't even get there.
Oh, okay. So I will stop giving you the...
No, you can. Okay. Just be patient.
Be patient. It will be back up, which is TracyMcBurney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. Well, I look forward to when
my husband has to finish the porch before he rebuilds the site.
Uh-oh.
He's almost done.
Oh, good. All right. Well, I look forward to that coming up. All right. We've been listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS. We'll be back next month.